Hello, everybody. Welcome to Turning Towards Life. This is Lizzie and Justin on our 52nd episode, if you can call it an episode, of Turning Towards Life. This is a third space offering that has now been going for a whole year as of this broadcast. So I find myself wonderfully surprised and shocked at how that has happened, and very happy with our by hook or by crook policy of always doing these on a Sunday morning, wherever we are, whatever we're doing. And so far we've managed it, which is amazing. So a warm welcome to you if you are just joining us, if you're returning and this is part of your Sunday routine, you are with us in a particular way that we're in it too, which is definitely part of our Sunday routines. And we're very, very happy to be here with this source that Justin's written this time called Truth Telling. And we will be reading that in a minute. And we just want to welcome you to the celebratory edition of Turning Towards Life.
I had thought we would have party hats this morning, but we didn't manage to get that together. Good morning, everyone. I'm so pleased that we're doing this. And as Lizzie, as you're introducing us again this morning, I'm thinking a lot about what it is to have intentional practice in our lives. Something that we do for its own sake, and then of course which has lots and lots of ripples in other ways, which I think is what any kind of proper practice is like. So this has been an extraordinary practice for me and for us to enter into for a year, and now we embark on year two, and who knows what that will bring. So usually the way we do this is that sometime during the week, either Lizzie or I get to pick a source. And I was, on Friday, when I was thinking about what source to bring, had this very strong feeling that it was time to talk explicitly about something that we've been talking about for a long time, which is what it is to tell truth about ourselves. And it felt very timely in a world. This is the week where, in a very public way, the hearings about the appointment to the US Supreme Court have been going on, and Christine Blasey Ford has been talking in public about truths about what happened to her in her own life, but also truths about what it is to be her, which I so appreciated, found incredibly moving. And of course, this source isn't just about that. This, I will read it first. This is also about what it takes to be truthful to ourselves about ourselves. So it's called Truth Telling. The more I look, the more it seems to me that among the most personally damaging acts each of us can take is that of turning away from truth. I'm not talking grand universal truths here, the kind that people claim apply across time and space and across people. And it's quite easy to see that establishing truth in this way is fraught with difficulty. No, I'm talking about something more basic and immediate. What's true about this moment, this experience, from the place in which you stand? If you pay attention, it's not so difficult to tell when you're turning away from truth in this way. The truth that you are sad or joyful or angry or despondent, touched or numb, feeling whole or split apart. The truth that this is difficult or painful for you, or the truth that this is bringing you to life. The truth that these thoughts you are thinking, whatever they are what you are thinking. The truth that what you're feeling in your body is what you're feeling. The truth that this place is where you are, and that what you are doing is what you are doing. When we deny these simple basic truths to ourselves and others, when we speak of ourselves inwardly or publicly with deliberate inaccuracy, we assault our own integrity, and we cause ourselves tangible harm in our minds and in our bodies by putting ourselves at odds with ourselves, fueling the inner battles that pull us apart. And then being whole again requires a kind of return, a turning back to the part of ourselves that understands how things really are, a turning back to something simple and straightforward, the heart of which we've known all along.
The truth that these thoughts you are thinking, whatever they are what you are thinking. The truth that what you're feeling in your body is what you're feeling. The truth that this place is where you are, and that what you are doing is what you are doing. When we deny these simple basic truths to ourselves and others, when we speak of ourselves inwardly or publicly with deliberate inaccuracy, we assault our own integrity, and we cause ourselves tangible harm in our minds and in our bodies by putting ourselves at odds with ourselves, fueling the inner battles that pull us apart. And then being whole again requires a kind of return, a turning back to the part of ourselves that understands how things really are, a turning back to something simple and straightforward, the heart of which we've known all along.
Well, as always, I'm grateful to hear you read this, Lizzie. It's quite something, this thing we've got into where it turns out one of us has written something to hear it read again.
Yeah.
So I wrote this because it sounds simple, and it is simple, and it's also not. That's why I wrote this. And I think it got born out of this. There's something I've been grappling with so much, which is what's the extent to which I'm willing to tell the truth about myself and what I'm experiencing, and knowing that when I do that, it can change the understanding that other people have of me. And that we've talked about this a lot. The best way I have of describing it at the moment is that moment of what feels like, can feel like to me, like terrible risk. I'm about to speak and say something about myself, and I may fall, and maybe nobody will ever catch me or ever want to speak to me again.
Mm.
And how often it's the other way. Can't always be the other way. Of course, there are people who don't want to hear.
Mm.
But I know that there are people who do. And I know about myself how easy it is to hold back from that because it feels so frightening.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing this is a tension that lots of us get caught in. And it's why we need one another.
Yeah. It is, and I can't help but, I know that you mentioned this isn't just about what's happening in the States at the moment, but if we are frightened of saying simple truths about what our experience is, and just imagining what it might be like to say something so risky in the public domain, and for there to be a real relationship with real power there that's not just emotional power or family power, but actually big systems power, and feeling the kind of kinship with that. For me personally, I seem to find myself often in the position of telling the truth and not being able to help it, even if it would save me from something. My mouth won't shut, and so I tend to be someone who says things that are truthful and also have repercussions relationally and systemically. And somehow it's one of the kind of qualities of me. And I really appreciate this piece of writing, Justin, because it also orients to not just the truth, as in what factually happened and what is happening, but also allows truth to be extended into the realm of our experience. So to be able to say what's true for me and to have it be an articulation of my experience and let that be there can also be a much less violent way of communicating than to say, well, I think this is true. And so I'm taking this as an invitation as well to remember that by articulating our experience, it doesn't have to implicate anybody else or blame anybody else, but it matters that we have a relationship to our own truth, that, as you say, there might be people willing to listen, and often there are and often there aren't, but that we can also feel dignified in our own selves, that our experience matters to us even. I mean, I spend time, you know, I'm still unwell, and I spent this time thinking, am I lying about being unwell? I mean, am I just being really weak? Am I pretending so that I can just rest a little bit more just because I want to rest, not because I'm ill? You know, questioning myself and realizing that I think that happens a lot to me and to lots of people, is that we push aside our experience and don't believe the signals our bodies are telling us or our feelings are telling us, to kind of fit in with the cultural norms of keeping on going, keeping up appearances, being fine, everything's great. And all the while we're negating this truth that you're talking about, we're pushing down this truth. And that's happening on so many layers and so many levels. And so what I enjoy about this is the invitation to realize that when we do put ourselves at odds with ourselves, it does create harm. And it takes away the right that we have to be truthful about what we're feeling and to be acknowledged at the very least by ourselves, by how we're feeling, rather than having inner voices and inner reactions that push away our experience and demand that it be something other than it is. And I love that about this piece of writing.
Yes. Thinking a lot whilst you're talking about the interplay between our own willingness to be truthful with ourselves, which is partly where this comes from. I get with what you're talking about being truthful about being unwell. Like, can I even begin to acknowledge what's true right here? And I've had this sense for quite a long time that our bodies tell us a lot about this, that there's a way, if we pay enough attention, that we can get onto, there's a twist here, there's a distortion here in how I'm being. And that sometimes living in the midst of that distortion for a long time can be a great injury to our physical health, as well as to our mental, psychological, spiritual, relational, everything else health. But I'm thinking about the intersection between that, which I think is such important. It's certainly been such important work for me, has been to do my best to tell the truth about myself more and more. And I woke up this morning actually caught in, oh, here's another kind of story I've been telling about myself that I think is untrue, and wanting to unpick that. But also in the midst of what's happening in the world, in the US particularly this week, I'm also thinking a lot about the ways in which we make it difficult for other people to tell truth about themselves. And so in this, you know, in this very, there's a very big thing going on, playing out in public in the US about who gets to tell the truth about their own experience, you know, and it's, do other people, people in power, with power and privilege, get to dictate what the experience of other people is, which is often the way that oppressions happen, is I get to tell you that your experience is not your experience. So I'm thinking about that on the big scale, and what an act of extraordinary beauty and courage it is when anybody then can talk with the kind of integrity and courage and tenderness and truthfulness that we've seen in Christine Blasey Ford this week. But at the same time, I'm also thinking about, how often I've done this just really close in. So one of the sort of quirks of my own personality over a long period of time, which I've been doing my best to loosen, and I know is still present in lots of ways, is having things be peaceful, having things be harmonious. So I know that one of the things that I learned to do was to suppress my own, the truthfulness about my own, I don't like this, I disagree, I don't want it to be this way, I'm angry, I'm upset, all of those kind of things. And there's a direct connection between the extent to which I do that to myself and the extent to which I do it to other people. So until I can feel my own, the truthfulness of my own anger, my own upset, my own being out of sorts with other people, I also don't want to hear other people's experience. And I've lots of times in my life, and I can feel it in my body, what it's like to do this is to go, no, no, that's not, essentially to make a subtle move, often subtle one, to go, no, that's not true. Let's turn away from it. So I suppose as I'm sort of musing on this and connecting up, you know, the sort of the grand narratives of our time with the inner world and our relational world, I'm thinking that aside from our lives get to have much more integrity when we're truthful to ourselves about ourselves, it seems to me it's only when we can do that that we can afford other people the dignity that's called for of allowing other people's experience to be their experience. And we have to do that to be dignified with one another.
Yeah. It's reminding me, Justin, I've been in a conversation with a client recently about positivity. And there are these places that teach us that our thoughts are what make our reality. And that if you think positively, everything will be fine. And if you're not thinking positively, everything won't be fine. And there's this huge kind of polarity in it, which means that every time someone as part of that school kind of slips up, as it were, in that paradigm and isn't positively thinking and their life is going wrong in some way, that they are the ones who are the powerful one that determines whether it's okay, or like, as a whether they have money or not. So if you're not thinking correctly, then and you don't have money, then it's because you're not thinking correctly, kind of relationship to things. And we've been talking about how violent that is, ironically, to have a demand on yourself that you think positively. And of course, there's like loads of benefits to seeing the good in things, of course. But when it turns into a demand, like a standard, it feels like it's doing just this, which is that it's negating a whole load of experience and or labeling it as wrong because it's not positive. And it first of all gives the superego, like our inner critic, the thing that attacks us inside, the most excellent fodder to make us into people that we disapprove of ourselves, and it's us. And it also means that we have this camp of acceptability that's actually pretty small. I mean, positivity is quite a small piece of human experience if you think about the spectrum of what's possible as a human life. And if that's the only place that we can stand, every part of our experience, other than being positive and thinking the correct thoughts, the right thoughts to create a life that we want, the rest of it's kind of thrown away as something that's not important. And for this client, it's been really big source of joy to find this way that she can think positively and it can change things. And it's been an equal slab of misery to feel that she's so ridiculous that she can't just do what she's told and think positively and therefore have everything that she needs and wants and have everything go fine with a property sale, for example, where, you know, she was buying a house and she was a flat. And it was an ex-council flat. So in the UK, that's something quite complex because it's ownership issues that are complex. And she was giving herself a massive hard time because she wasn't thinking positively about it. And therefore, it was all her fault that it was going wrong. And it was such a relief to be in the conversation of, well, maybe we can look to what you're saying here, Justin. Maybe we can look to your experience. Maybe we can understand how you're feeling. Maybe we can understand what impact this is having on you. And also the way that you're being in this so that we can just let it all be here and see how that has an impact on you, rather than having this demand that you be a certain way. So in the same way as you're maybe demanding that something's peaceful, there's all these different kinds of ways of demanding it's positive, demanding it's meaningful, demanding it's... And actually, if we're not open to this full wide spectrum, we're being violent towards ourselves by having that demand that things are okay in that particular way for us.
Lizzie, your scarf is rubbing against the microphone. You probably can't hear that.
I can't.
Yes, I really appreciate what you're saying. And it seems to me that the first step is to be truthful about what I'm experiencing. Now, it doesn't mean that leads into a particular place, but to be truthful about it first. I am angry. I am disappointed. I am feeling upset. I am self-critical. I am rageful. I am joyful. That's the first step we have to take. And I think it's Viktor Frankl, who's the person who coined this, saying that between any experience and its response and what we do about it, there's a space in which we can choose a response, which seems so wise. But how can we do that unless we're truthful about our own experience? And this has been a really big one for me with being angry. You know, spending years and years and years telling myself, I'm not angry. I'm never angry. I'm not angry about anything. And then Lizzie finding out, I'm angry about everything. Well, not everything, but you know, that feeling angry was such a huge part of my background experience. And the consequence of not being real about that was not wanting to be around people that were angry, turning my anger into all kinds of manipulative ways of getting what I wanted without just being straight with people. You know, it could go on and on with a huge list. And it was such a glorious relief the other day. Thursday morning, I woke up feeling really angry about something that I can't change. So the pond on Hampstead Heath that I love to swim in is too cold to swim in and it's closed. Can't swim in it. It's been life-giving for me this year. And I woke up really angry that the world wouldn't be the way I wanted it. I was really grumpy. And for a long time in my life, I would have denied that that was the case, been beastly to other people, but maintained my own, I'm fine, and everyone around would be going, you're not fine, but we can't tell you you're not fine because you won't acknowledge it, all of that. And causing real, you know, it's sort of small but big relational breakdowns and difficulties. And it was such a relief on Thursday morning to do two things. So I spoke to our dear friend and colleague in Third Space, Nina, and I said to her, I'm really angry. And she said, bring it on, basically. And to be met in that way by someone who was willing just to also be with me in the truth of it. And then I'd been really, really snappy at home. I was snappy with Davina over the breakfast table, my wife Davina, and I wasn't with her later, so I sent her a message saying, I'm really sorry, I'm really snappy this morning. And she did the kindest and most beautiful thing. She texted me back, she said, well, you're human then too. And I think I'm telling these stories, which are in a way small and very big, because when we really take this point that you're making about the violence we can do to ourselves, I mean, let alone to other people, when we practice giving up that kind of violence, which then means being truthful about how we really are, I think it affords us the possibility of stopping being violent to the world. And it seems to me like a necessary endeavor that we reduce the amount of violence. And last thing I think for me to say now is, I'm so struck in your example by how often we do violence in the name of trying to be good, trying to be proper, trying to get things right. That's a big source of, for many of us, of where we start. We think I'm a good person. And yet, at the same time, we're carving off great chunks of our experience and other people's experience.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, Justin, I couldn't help but think of my own examples of your anger thing. And I recognise in my earlier times, before I had a handle on myself, I used to do this positivity thing as well, where I felt like it was my responsibility to keep everything happy. And anything that, and what I realized is that what was underneath that need was a massive sense of meaninglessness. And if I let myself fall down from the happiness, it was so meaningless that I had to keep myself up, which meant that I also would reject anybody who was in any way trying to be meaningful as well. And I would dismiss it in a very cynical way because it wasn't contributing to this kind of happiness and this joy feeling. And that was a certain kind of violence to myself and to other people, which is, you know, if you don't make me laugh, if you don't make me happy, I'm not even going to spend time with you. It's a waste. I had that narrative going on. And it meant that I would push things away just because they didn't fit into my narrative of the upness, the positivity, the happiness, the joy. And that became a demand that would help me to avoid everything that was underneath. So unsurprisingly, a lot of my encounter with life is to do with meaninglessness, and that I'm continuing to uncover different echelons of meaninglessness all the time and not really knowing what means anything because of that my mechanism is defunct now, my happiness mechanism. Of course I'm happy and I'm joyful and I'm way more than that too, and in the way more than that I have to face parts of myself that I really understand why I didn't want to face them, because it's hard and it's not pretty, and yet it's the most compassionate, sensible thing to do, which is to be honest, that I'm struggling to find meaning in things regularly. And that extends like to everything.
Right.
So I can also have compassion for myself as a younger person as well, who doesn't know what to do with that and who's never been taught that that's okay to feel that way. And so of course I avoided it because I didn't have any support to not avoid it.
Yes.
And so I just really appreciate the example that you brought, and it makes me think of that and how much we're up to stuff that's hiding things below or keeping them on the down low because they're just too hard to face on our own. And it's not normal for us to have help and people around us who could say, oh yeah, I get meaninglessness. I know what that feels like. There's being it together like Nina did with you with the anger.
It's one of the things I love about I know the kind of work that we're both very dedicated to, which is creating places and spaces in which it's possible to say, I'm feeling deep meaninglessness as well as I'm feeling great joy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling rage. The truth about myself is, and that there'll be other people around who'll go, welcome.
Mm-hmm.
To the humanity of it. And what a surprise. It's one of my... It's such a joy on the programs we run when you can feel a group of people encountering the possibility that it might be okay to do this. We might be okay to be human together.
Mm.
And that to be human is to feel meaningless and joyful and sad and angry and confused and hurt and sorrowful and blissful and all of that. And there's such wisdom in what you say, because one of the things I know about you is that when you tell the truth, it's really powerful and contactful and meaningful.
Mm.
And it's such a beautiful, and in this you're such a beautiful demonstration of exactly the mistake I think that we all make. So that mistake that you're talking about, which goes, I'm afraid of meaninglessness. I can't talk about being afraid of things being meaningless. Therefore, I must cover up meaninglessness and make everything just sort of joyful. And that what deep possibility for meaningfulness comes from entering into the truth of there's so much that I don't understand that feels hollow and empty. Mm-hmm. At the moment we make that encounter with one another. Mm-hmm. And my version of it has been something like, if I don't keep myself level and calm and approachable, people will abandon me. Mm. And the paradox in that is that the more I keep myself level and calm and approachable, the shallower my relationships are. Mm. So in a way, in a way, it's one of these self-fulfilling prophecies. It's a path to feeling abandoned all the time. And owning up to how I really am and what I really care about and what's really annoying me, or whatever it is also often the path into contactfulness and into the feeling of being held. Mm. So there's this way when we get afraid of telling the truth to ourselves about ourselves, and we do the violence that you've been talking about, that this is one of those places where it seems so obvious that that's the thing to do, but the paradox is we keep the very thing that we're frightened of going because we haven't yet learned to turn towards it. And I suppose this is what we're working on over this entire year of conversations is it's only when I turn towards my anger and acknowledge it and welcome it, which doesn't mean I'm going to go and smash the world up because of it. There's lots of things I can do with it and bring it to other people that I get to feel mm. here, held, trustful. Mm. It's only when you get in contact from what you were saying with meaninglessness and bring it into the world that we get to find how important it is to be in contact with meaninglessness together. Mm. So we're running all the time from the, we're doing violence all the time because of the very thing that we want to keep a void facing, and it keeps it going.
Yeah. And just makes me feel into this place, Justin, where using me as the example, in my kind of up state, my contactfulness is very diminished. Mm. And in my kind of, I don't know what anything is for, I'm confused. The way I'm contactful is far more intimate, more deeply felt. I'm more available. I'm more able to be in the conversation with another human being.
Yes.
I'm just noticing the correlation between contactfulness and untogetherness and valuing that hugely.
Deep connection between contactfulness, untogetherness, truthfulness, and intimacy, not just with other human beings, but with life itself. And that's what turning towards life is. Mm-hmm. And why we have to keep on talking about it, because it's also so hard. Mm-hmm. So I'm so glad we've been having this conversation and we have reached time on our Turning Towards Life episode 52, first birthday. The thing that tickles me about this is that if anyone really wants to, they can now go back and watch an entire 24 hours of us talking about all of this. Why anyone would want to do that, I don't know, but there it is. It's all laid out on our website and on YouTube. And I'm so pleased we get to do this and that people get to accompany us.
Mm. Me too. Thank you, everybody, for the kind of truthfulness that you are that lets you be in this conversation with us. Because I don't think anyone sits here and doesn't, you know, and listens to us for any length of time without feeling the truthfulness of their own self to be able to tolerate the conversation even. So I'm really appreciating that.
Thank you, everyone. We will see you, all being well, next weekend.
See you next weekend, everyone.
Bye.